We have some great programs lined up for you during Holy Week, and here's an easy way to invite your fellow parishioners to listen. It's a special church bulletin insert for Issues Etc. Holy Week programming. Just go to the support page at issuesetc.org, download, print, and make copies of the Holy Week bulletin insert. The bulletin insert can be used for the weekend of Palm Sunday, April 1st. issuesetc.org and click support.
I'm very thankful for the opportunity to be a Jet.
Well, I tell you, the way the Jets have played recently, they need the good Lord on their side. So this could be a major move. Yeah.
I think that it's a job of immense demands, and I would hope that my successor has the constitution of an ox and the skin of a rhinoceros, really.
Because of Jesus, our Father hears us as though he were listening to his own dear Son, who is making constant intercession for us.
Seminarians on Vicarage in Indiana love Issues Etc.
It is posed by philosophers, sometimes theologians as well, as the problem of evil. Well, what is it? It's that God is supposed to be good and God is supposed to be all-powerful, and yet that goodness and that almightiness seem to be incompatible with the world that we live in. If God is really almighty, then why do bad things happen? There are a lot of assumptions there in that question. We're going to explore some of them and mount a Christian response to the problem of evil. Maybe the problem isn't so much with the existence of evil, but with us. In asking this question, Pastor Ian Pacey will join us for the first half hour of Issues Etc. We are coming to you live this Monday afternoon. It's the 26th of March, and we're coming to you live from the studios of Lutheran Public Radio in Collinsville, Illinois. After our conversation with Pastor Pacey, Deaconess Pam Nielsen will join us. We'll be teaching a Sunday school lesson today, Peter Denies Jesus in Mark chapter 14. Adrian Dorr will join us in hour two. From the Lutheran Witness magazine, we'll talk about God's design for men and women. She's written a fascinating chapter in a book called Women Pastors? Question mark, and it's a newly released edition of this book, including her essays and others. We'll talk with her about God's design for the sexes. And Mark Pearson will join us in the last half hour. We'll talk about the historical reliability of the New Testament. How much evidence for the text do we really have for the Christian New Testament? Our call-in number for the next 2 hours of Issues Etc., 1-877-623-MY-IE, 877-623-6943. Our in-studio email address, we get those email right here in real time in the studio, talkback@issuesetc.org, talkback@issuesetc.org, or send us a tweet at @issuesetc. Folks, Holy Week begins this Sunday with Palm Sunday. We have some of your favorite guests scheduled for next week on Issues Etc. Among the topics and the guests, we'll be talking about the events of Holy Week with none other than Dr. Paul Meyer of Western Michigan University. Dr. Norman Nagel will be talking about the Passion of the Christ. We'll do a hymn study with Pastor Will Whedon, the hymn, a great one for Lent and Holy Week, O Sacred Head Now Wounded. Plus, in the Issues Etc. bulletin insert that we have at our website right now, issuesetc.org, click support. It's right at the top of the page. You can download it, print it off, give it to your church secretary. We also have information about the return of Lutheran Public Radio for the Easter season. That's all at our website, issuesetc.org. Click support right at the top of the page. You'll find the Issues Etc. Holy Week bulletin insert. Put it in the church bulletin this weekend. Pastor Ian Pacey is a Lutheran Church Missouri Synod campus chaplain at the University of Arizona. He's author of an article in the latest issue of Higher Things magazine titled Christianity's Answer to the Problem of Evil. Pastor Pacey, welcome to Issues Etc.
Hey there, Todd. Thanks for having me in.
Who gets to say what is and isn't evil?
In the final analysis, I would say that God is the one who gets to determine what's actually good and evil. That goes by way of the creation, that he's the one who sets all things and puts all things into existence, sets them into order. No one of us in the creation gets to set down the rules on what is actually good and what is actually evil.
So for us to ask the question, which it's posed different ways, but often the problem of evil is posed as, if God is good and he is all-powerful, then why does evil exist in the world? What kind of presuppositions are behind that question?
Well, I would say that the folks asking that question, there's a presupposition on their part that we can know these things, that good and evil, or at least discuss these things, that good and evil exist and are known in such a way that we can have conversation and kind of tease out and work out the details. And for me, that's right there, that's a major source of discussion and dialogue and a place for working these things out, because when it comes to the Christian, it's a lot bit easier for us in that we have the scriptures and we have the revealed world, word of God, and we have a knowledge of things he has defined as good and evil. And when you don't have those things available to you, or even false versions of it, say with false religious writings, in the case of the atheist and the agnostic, having moral categories and being able to define good and evil is exceedingly difficult.
Is the unstated statement in the question, if God is good and all-powerful, and sometimes they toss in if he's all-knowing,
yeah,
then why does evil exist? Is it, in some sense, a statement, you know, if this were true, God should,
yeah,
capital S, not permit such bad things to happen?
Yeah, that's good. When it comes to that basic laying out of the question, there's the three there, all-powerful, all-good, and all-knowing. And the all-knowing is, I think it's really quite important to include the all-knowing. If you don't, you're just saying you have an extremely strong person who happens to be a decent guy, but he's within the cycle of events in the same way that we are. And by folding in the all-knowing, you kind of prevent falling into open theism. You prevent all kinds of issues. So you really need to have those three pieces all together as the basic foundation for how we think about God. And the principal issue is, just like you say, the question is, should. There is a presumption by those who go down this road, use this kind of argumentation, to say that if God is all good, if he is all-knowing, if he is all-powerful, then evil absolutely should not exist. Evil does exist, whether defined rightly or wrongly, people will say evil does exist. And then for that reason alone, in the logical sense, they'll say, therefore, there is no God. It's not possible that he exists. But in my experience and in my reading, that's really just the surface-level discussion. And even within philosophical circles, and I'm not a philosopher, for the most part, the philosophers and the logicians have said that that argument is really a weak argument, that it's quite easy to answer that argument and say something like, all we have to do is find a reason that an all-powerful, all-good, all-knowing God would allow evil to exist, and that's enough to dismiss the logical formulation of the question.
So as an argument against God, it's pretty weak, and yet it's a question that I'm sure you run into a lot,
yeah,
especially in the course of dealing with people who are kind of learning how bad can get in the human experience, college-age kids. And they ask the question perhaps not so much as a atheistic assertion, but as an honest question. Why is this happening in my life if God's supposed to be the way he is? How do you deal with it?
Yeah, see, that's the issue right there. The first part is generally easily dismissed, but even dismissing it in the purely logical sense, philosophical sense, people will still say, you know, there are evil things that are in the world. You know, why is God allowing these things to happen? So in the article, the way I framed it is it's the existential problem of evil. In the literature, it's called the evidential problem of evil. Evidence meaning the things you're seeing around you just don't seem to be right in one way or another. So the way I would go about it is it depends on the person. That's the thing about apologetics, because it's basically working in the category of the law. I mean, nobody's converted by these arguments. You know, you really have to assess where the individual is and why they're asking. If there's a person who's really up at the philosophical end, you know, you can kind of answer it in that way and start something. But if you have a person who has suffered something personally, you have to be much more careful in your wording and much more open to kind of playing this along, you know, gently rather than with blunt force of logical argument. So depending on the person, I mean, mainly what you want to say is you want to go about defining why people think something is evil, and you want to try to define why people think something is good. And the evil thing People who don't, you know, spend a lot of time thinking about this, he'll just say, I don't know what it is, but when I see evil, I know it's evil. I feel that it's evil. Even if they don't have something formally in mind that's governing that, they just get a gut sense that that's wrong. And that would be friends and family who die or, you know, in for these folks, in not natural ways. When the innocent suffer, when people who can't defend themselves are abused, all those kinds of things, people immediately identify rightly with the law written on their hearts as being evil. And then taking that into account, you really have a very, very nice setup for walking people into the discussion of that evil is not something that God is indifferent to. God, in fact, because he lays down the categories and knows what's evil and knows what's good, is not indifferent to our suffering, but has done something powerful in our lives, in our time, in our space, to overcome what we would define as evil, what he would define as evil.
We'll take a break. When we come back, we'll continue our conversation with Pastor Ian Pacey. We're talking about Christianity and the problem of evil. It's Monday afternoon, March the 26th. I invite your questions and comments. We are coming to you live. 1-877-623-6943. 877-623-MYIE. Send us an email, talkback@issuesetc.org, or a tweet at issuesetc. There are some things that we need to establish. I mean, we're dealing with people who often, when they raise the question of evil, aren't asking a theoretical question. As Pastor Pacey has pointed out, they're often talking about their own experience. They want to know how God let this happen to them, or did God make this happen to them? And there are answers in Scripture to that very question. We'll be right back.
My biggest fear is that this is not the work of the devil, because there can be no devil if there is no God. And if there were a God, he would never allow such suffering.
We have some great programs lined up for you during Holy Week, and here's an easy way to invite your fellow parishioners to listen. It's a special church bulletin insert for Issues Etc. Holy Week programming. Just go to the support page at issuesetc.org, download, print, and make copies of the Holy Week bulletin insert. The bulletin insert can be used for the weekend of Palm Sunday, April 1st. issuesetc.org and click support.
Concordia Publishing House has a great new resource to help you teach your children and grandchildren classical Christian hymns. It's called My First Hymnal. You can find out more about it at issuesetc.org, or you can purchase My First Hymnal by calling CPH 1-800-325-3040. Teach your children and grandchildren hymns like A Mighty Fortress, Abide With Me, Children of the Heavenly Father, and more with My First Hymnal, the Issues Etc. Book of the Month.
Equipping the priesthood of all believers, you're listening to Issues Etc.
Wouldn't it be great if more of your fellow parishioners listened to Issues Etc.? Well, here's an easy way for you to publicize Issues Etc. at your church. Go to the support page of our website, issuesetc.org, and you'll find a short paragraph to include in your weekly church bulletin. Copy and paste the text for your church secretary or pastor to include each week in the Sunday bulletin. The bulletin blurb is updated weekly. issuesetc.org. Stay connected. issuesetc.org.
Christian apologist Gretchen Passantino on the importance of Issues Etc.
This is the best that Christian radio gets. And I know that anyone who listens to this show will get sound biblical doctrine and, most importantly, a complete focus on the cross and on Christ. I've done so many radio shows over 35 years, literally thousands of them, and I know of no other program that puts the cross and the gospel right at the focus of everything.
Christ-centered, cross-focused, Issues Etc.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Pastor Ian Pacey is our guest. He's a Lutheran Church Missouri Synod campus chaplain at the University of Arizona. He's authored an article in the latest issue of Higher Things magazine titled Christianity's Answer to the Problem of Evil. Now, there is an answer. I guess one of the things we need to establish, and you write about this in your article, is exactly the source of evil, or or perhaps put more plainly, that while God may be in some sense responsible, he's not the source of the bad things that happen in life. How do we sort this out for someone who's coming either skeptical or, as you said, in the midst of that kind of existential angst over the evil in their lives?
Yeah, that's a good one. The issue for us is going to be is that we have a kind of a mixed answer coming out of Christianity, in that some folks will say, Christians that is, God is the creator of all things, and they mean that in the all-encompassing sense. Evil is a thing, therefore God has created evil. And the way we read the scriptures, I think the better reading is that we'd have to challenge that straight away. That evil, rather than being a thing created by God, is clearly a corruption of what God has created and put into this world. And the reason for its corruption gets us into the fall. It gets us into sin. Important in apologetics discussions is the status of free will, whether it exists or not. And that particular question, where evil's sourced, gets you right into that discussion rather nicely. So we would say at the end of the day is that God has created things. He'd set them forth as good. And by way of human rebellion and demonic rebellion, we polluted things, we've destroyed things, we've corrupted things. And that's ultimately the source of evil, not God, but other moral agents.
Well, so here is where we have to tread lightly.
Yeah.
Because I think that the kind of the typical Christian response to this is to say, well, God can't be held responsible and will not be held responsible for evil. So if it's a problem, it's not his problem. But you say that the Christian answer, the biblical answer to the problem of evil is actually not that, but that God does make himself responsible in the person of Christ for all of it and answers for it.
Yeah, in the end, that's true. That's exactly the solution that's revealed in the cross, that God, in the beginning, he does permit these things to take place. But in the end, as you just in the way that you frame it, God really does take all evil, all violations of his will, all the things that God has against us, which of course are many, and lays them on the shoulders of Christ and makes him the one responsible for us and punishes him in our place. So that in the end, what Jesus does for us is ultimately he protects us from the Father and his wrath and punishment that's due to sinners. That's absolutely correct.
So can we give a coherent and a theologically sound response to the problem of evil if we don't get eventually to discussing that man hanging on the cross, having been punished for the sins of the world?
Yeah, I don't think we can, at least not in the Christian, not in the biblical sense. I mean, there are ways of talking about it in the purely philosophical sense. There's lots of works out there on the philosophy of religion. They all have chapters that are devoted to these kinds of questions, like the problem or the question of evil. And unless you have, at the end, sort of the equal sign at the very end of the equation, Christ and the cross and the forgiveness of sins, then you're really just engaged in basically a kind of philosophical kind of a question. It's back and forth. It's interesting. You have good arguments, I have good arguments, and we go back and forth, but in the end, there's no resolution. There's no actual truth that's derived from it. It's just sort of a ping-pong kind of a match. But in the cross and in the death and in the resurrection and with the forgiveness of sins, there's absolute resolution to the issue of the question or the problem of evil. And that's what the article was ultimately about.
Well, and it's more, you say, than simply kind of making the philosophical, the mathematical equation balance out. Okay, you've got a problem at the beginning, and Jesus becomes the answer, and everything sums to zero.
Yeah.
What does it mean for us today, still living in this world where evil abounds in us and outside of us, that there is a divine answer,
mm-hmm.
an ultimate divine answer in Christ to evil? What does it mean?
Well, what does it mean? In my experience with these kinds of questions, like you say, you'll have people who actually, they've had something evil. In fact, everybody's had some form of evil go on in their lives, and they can really resonate with the question in front of us. You know, I know what evil is. I've felt evil. I've seen evil, and it stinks. Jesus held the same opinion. And when it comes to meaning, I mean, just looking at the evil in isolation from the cross, there really is no meaning. And this is why when it comes to folks, say, like Christopher Hitchens and the New Atheists, but even going back further than that, who really try to use this question as a way of denying the possibility of the existence of God. Or Hitchens was so bold as to say is that even if God did in fact exist, because of the things around him he identified as evil and God's, from his perspective, lack of concern, even if that God existed, he still would be opposed to that God. And I think that's kind of where you were going with the first question is you know, who really has the position to define what's good and evil? Who's God here? Who is the creation? And, you know, in the biblical sense, the place where we find that question best, I wouldn't say best addressed, but at least addressed in a very complete sense is in Romans chapter 8 and chapter 9, where there you have the couple or the identification of evil, not just in the moral sense, but even the world around us, earthquakes and other things tied to the fall of Adam. And then you have the position in chapter 9 where you have the potter and the clay, which is taken right out of the Old Testament, Isaiah, Daniel, a number of the prophets. And we, being the clay, are not in a position to make any demands on God. But the beauty and the glory of the gospel is that the clay, which has fallen and broken by way of its own moral rejection of God, is still treated by the potter in such a way where it's redeemed, it's saved, it's made back into what it was intended to be. Because fundamentally, that's what salvation ends up being. It ends up being restoration of God and man, as it was in the garden before the fall. So the meaning there of all that's going to be is that God has not forsaken us. I mean, I just said that a few minutes ago, but that's absolutely what this is about. That in the cross, what you see is God's absolute, complete investment in the creation, even though it doesn't deserve it, giving witness to his love and his mercy toward us.
So that would seem to change the way we look at our own lives, too. So
yeah.
Because then you hear admonitions from the apostle, in fact, from more than one, that Christians in particular should not consider sufferings in this life something strange or out of place.
Sure.
But as part of how God deals with his children. Talk about that, if you would.
Yeah, see, that's something that you really do not want to break out in a kind of an apologetics argument or discussion, because you're talking about a person who's not a believer. But for Christians now, this is, and there is a place for apologetics and for Christians even. For Christians now, a way of making sense of their lives and their suffering in light of the cross, I don't know if I want to say it's all empowering, but it does order things in our minds in the way that they should be ordered, in that God himself has not isolated himself from suffering, but has entered into our suffering. And the world that we live in, and it's here for a time, but in the end it's going to be judged and taken away, and the new world will be initiated and brought forth. And we're kind of caught in this process between the fall of Adam and the return of Christ. And what governs this world is the working out of human sin. So at that one point in time that goes in every direction and affects time, you have the cross of Christ. But as Christians, there's no guarantee. In fact, it's just the opposite. There's promise that Christians in this world will suffer. They might suffer for being Christians, specifically persecution, that sort of thing, but they'll also suffer just in the general sense of the plague of the fall that's still at work in the world. But altogether, now Romans 8 style, this is driving in the direction of, with the outcry and the groaning for the return of Christ, who will restore all things and set all things back into order.
So we do have that kind of, and we've got about a minute here before
sure.
we wrap it up, we do have, as Christians, a promise of a final resolution, still worked out in Christ, but a final resolution that includes us and all creation, too.
Oh, absolutely, yeah. We have it here in that we see it in part with regard to the preaching of the gospel, the administration of the sacraments. It's here in part, but it's still hidden a little bit. And the promise is that's what we have awaiting for us in full. And the thing about that is, and I try to put this into the article, it sometimes seems that that's weak, that it's a little bit too trite, and it's definitely kind of cliche just to say, don't worry about this, Christ has died for you, and everything will be, you know, cheery and rosy at the end. But when we look into what we have available to us in this world, I mean, this really is not just trite, it's not cliche, it's absolutely the truth. other things that are given in this life outside of the cross generally are just given as ways of pacifying or making it easier for people to get through suffering. In the teaching of the cross, in the giving of the forgiveness of sins, what we really have is an actual, real, true overcoming of evil in every sense. Now, we don't have it in full now, but we absolutely have it by way of the promise of God and who God is, waiting for us at the end of time.
Pastor Ian Pace, he is a Lutheran Church of Missouri Synod campus chaplain at the University of Arizona. He's author of an article in the latest issue of Higher Things magazine titled Christianity's Answer to the Problem of Evil. Pastor Pace, it's been a pleasure. Thanks for being our guest.
Thank you, sir.
When we come back, Deaconess Pam Nielsen will be with us on this Monday afternoon, March the 26th. A little Sunday school lesson as usual with her. We'll be in Mark chapter 14 talking about Peter's denial of Jesus. This brings us right into the middle of Holy Week, a week that begins on this coming Sunday. In the second hour of the program, Adrian Dorr will be our guest from the Lutheran Witness magazine. We'll talk about God's design for the sexes. And then we'll spend a little time with Mark Pearson discussing the historical reliability of the text of the New Testament. You can listen to Issues Etc. live and on demand with the new Issues Etc. iPhone and Android app. You can get these apps at our website, issuesetc.org. Give us a call, send us an email, or follow us on Facebook or Twitter. Issues Etc. in the palm of your hand. The new Issues Etc. iPhone and Android app. Download today at issuesetc.org.
There's an app for that.
When you need a friend, you have a friend in Jesus Christ, the Good Shepherd, and friends among his people at Good Shepherd Lutheran Church, Arnold, Missouri. At Good Shepherd Lutheran Church, we offer Christ-centered word and sacrament ministry, inspirational liturgical worship services, and faithful preaching and teaching. Sunday worship services are at 9 a.m. Sunday school and Bible class are at 10:30. We also have an excellent Christian preschool. We invite you to join us. Good Shepherd Lutheran Church, 2211 Tenbrook Road, Arnold, Missouri, 636-296-1292.
South Africa,
China,
Germany,
Trinidad and Tobago.
Did you know that people listen to Issues Etc. around the world? India,
Sweden, Egypt,
France,
Turkey,
Japan,
Australia,
Canada,
United Kingdom,
Hong Kong,
Austria,
Finland,
Malaysia,
Singapore,
Bulgaria,
Korea,
Brazil.
You can support the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. by making a secure online donation at issuesetc.org. You can also donate by check. Make your check payable to Lutheran Public Radio and send it to LPR, Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. LPR, Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Help us proclaim Christ to the world.
The Philippines,
Mexico,
Spain,
New Zealand,
Kuwait.
Truth-centered mission outreach. You're listening to Issues Etc.
This is a special Life Issues update. Obamacare before the Supreme Court with Brad Mattis.
Today's the first of 3 days of oral arguments at the Supreme Court on the constitutionality of Obamacare. 6 hours, unprecedented for a modern court, are dedicated to hearing arguments for and against. The outcome is hugely important to all Christians. If the court lets Obamacare stand, they'll be throwing us to the bureaucratic wolves, wolves who've already shown they have no regard for religious freedom. Congress has admitted Obamacare will cost twice the estimate. Rationing of health care isn't even debated. It's expected. I agree with Congresswoman Michelle Bachmann. It's a short step for Mr. Obama to say they'll only pay for one or two deliveries of babies per household because dollars are limited. Do you see where this is headed? Stay close this week as I keep you updated.
Life Issues. Stay informed. More informed than you've ever been.
Issues Etc. relies on a small group of faithful supporters called the Issues Etc. Reformation Club. These people have pledged to become monthly or annual contributors to Issues Etc., and this allows us to budget our expenses more efficiently. Now, there are 4 levels of giving. The Confessor, $25 monthly or an annual gift of $250.
The Apologist, $50 monthly or an annual gift of $500. The Reformer, $100 monthly or an annual gift of $1,000. And The Patron, $200 monthly or an annual gift of $2,000. Each Reformation Club member receives premiums like books, transcripts, and the I Have Issues t-shirt. You can join the Issues Etc. Reformation Club by contacting Craig. His email address, craig@issuesetc.org. Or you can call 618-223-8385, 618-223-8385, the Issues Etc. Reformation Club.